Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for today. And in the studio I have with me a guest who has been on the program before, Nanette Nathu, who is the chair of Law and Order for the Auckland Indian Association. So her whole focus is in crime prevention and education of the community in this area. And she's also a volunteer with the hospice movement, and of course she's a volunteer at Auckland Grey Power and is on our committee as funding and projects officer. So welcome, Nanette.
Thank you very much, Anne. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
So today we're starting the conversation about winning ways to wellbeing, focusing on wellbeing. Now it's very interesting. We have had in our policy objectives that we are standing for seniors' welfare and well-being, and those words have been around in our manifesto for a large number of years, certainly the whole time I've been in Grey Power. So these words have been around all of this century and probably the 20th before it. So we have been focusing on well-being long before the government has been, but it's sort of, you know, there's been a wake-up call, and around the world governments are realising that you can have very attractive economic book balancing, but you can have a population where there are pockets of poverty that are growing, and there are outcomes that you have that are not desirable, and they don't lead to a well-balanced, well-integrated society. So right now the government is shifting to focus on well-being for the upcoming budget in May, and we think that it's good to have a conversation around well-being. What does it mean for seniors? How can we shift attitudes that really enable people to feel more included in what's going on in society rather than excluded? But there's also it's little things that count, like, is there suitable furniture for people to actually sit on? Can they get out of the seats when they've finished sitting? It's really simple things. It's not how much money, because the furniture's going to cost what it's going to cost. It's not anyone's buying luxury furniture, but it's, are they buying the right kind of furniture? So when they're replacing seats at libraries, seats even in the public parks and bus stops, other kinds of seating in stores, businesses, offices, are they really incorporating a rapidly growing ageing population, and how are they finding out what customers need, testing out how people react to using products and so on? So we think that well-being is a very big conversation, as well as having to be part of the detail of choosing things. So we can only just have more and more opportunities to raise awareness about this. And it's really a form of public education, I guess. Now, when we look at ageing and ageing well, one of the key things is how well connected people are, how socially isolated they are. And that's one of the reasons why it's very important for senior organisations to be in contact with other senior organisations. That's why I welcome the connection with the Indian Association and their 100-plus senior group, because I learn what they do and how they're helping their seniors, but I also can see that, hey, we know about some things that it would be good for them to know about. And I'm quite inspired with the dedication that goes on in all of these groups. So the more these groups interact, the more they can add to each other's lobbying power, and the more they can add to awareness of what improves things and outcomes for seniors generally. You certainly don't improve things through ignorance. It's never worked. So today I just want to say that to kick off our first public meeting of the year, we have been talking to the brain research people, we've been talking to Retina New Zealand, we've been conversing with researchers who are researching ageing, just to find out what are the things that really make a difference. And the biggest thing is the exercise. The biggest thing is getting people to do some sort of cardiovascular workout. It doesn't have to be in a gym. It doesn't have to mean that you exhaust yourself and run around the block 10 times. It's just a gentle, it can be a gentle walking program because it's regular, because you do it without fail, you get into a rhythm and you slowly build that fitness and then you can slowly up what you're doing. So it's not a race. We've been amazed looking for people who need programs, just how many programs are out there in the community. And I know with some of the seniors that Nanette's involved with coming back from injury, from a broken arm or a car accident or something, it's that much harder when you're older to come back from those things. So it requires a lot more care and attention and planning as to what you can do, how you can do it, when you can do it, and so on. And often we're too protective of ourselves. We don't push ourselves that little bit extra. Park the car a block away from the shops and make yourself walk that extra distance. It's things like that. So I'm very pleased to have Nanette here because it's making me think what else we can do to be more effective with some of our members who struggle to get to our programs. And we have 5 buses coming into Blockhouse Bay. A lot of them stop right outside the community centre where the program is. We're wheelchair friendly. We will have people meeting buses, actually helping people get in. And of course the buses are all lower these days. And the drivers are very particular, usually with the older people. They know they have to lower the bus and they do it. So you just, you know, are on the same level as the footpath virtually. We think that people often think buses are the old bone-shaking structures that used to be very uncomfortable and very unpleasant. And if you were in pain, they shook you around a lot. Well, they've changed a lot. They're very, very smooth. They're much better suspension, much better upholstery, much better standard overall, and they're pleasant to ride in generally. So I think that people really need to think more about how they can get themselves to these meetings. But certainly it's easier than doing the research on the net. It's easier than reading tomes from the library. You can get live spontaneous comment from people. You can ask questions. You can delve into situations. So coming to the meeting has a real value. And I know that this first meeting of the year will be in our Blockhouse Bay regular slot at the community centre at 1 o'clock on the first Friday in March. So we will have a newsletter out to people and that will be out in libraries and so on as well. We will have flyers around in neighbourhoods and on notice boards. So we will be getting the message out there. And it's a good way to introduce people to Grey Power, to get people to come along who perhaps wouldn't have thought about it. But it's, I mean, everyone's going to age. And no matter how much you know about it, there's always more to learn, I'm finding. Even when I've done a lot of writing on the subject, I'm continually amazed at how, for example, the brain can relearn and how brain cells can actually regrow and how people can refresh. So we used to have a much more negative outlook for aging, and I think it's now changed by the quality of the research and what's been able to be discovered. And of course attitude makes a huge difference. Now before we continue on, we're going to have a music break first up, and that will be Bic Runga. And I thought it was quite fitting to have her track Good Morning Baby. So we'll have some stimulation from Bic Runga and then we can come back and talk about what sort of consultations council is looking for doing in February, what some of the topics are and what are some of the volunteering opportunities that are coming up. And Nanette's going to be able to share with us her background in health and safety matters and crime prevention.
That was great, Anne. The topics are, of course, very important. While we've got the gap in the music with your nice soundtrack, how about we ask our listeners to get a pen and paper so they can actually take notes or bullet points what they might be interested in and get back to us at Grey Power and definitely mark the date of 1st of March.
Yeah. pure dedication. I find myself looking for the exit sign. See a pretty face in the sunshine. In the morning after staying up all night, I wanna wake you just to hear you tell me it's alright. It's too much sometimes for me. Good morning, baby. I hope I'm gonna make it through another day. Good morning, baby. I hope I'm gonna make it through another day. I see the stars in all the planets. Try the great bright world and have it all. Yeah, better get a ticket, better get in line. Up for beautiful weather. Take a car and drive forever. But I'm only ever sitting at the traffic light. And all I want to see is too much of time to me. Good morning, baby, I hope I'm gonna make it through another day. Good morning, baby, I hope I'm gonna make it through another day.
Welcome back, everyone. And this particular session, we're having a conversation about health and safety and volunteers. But I'm also interested, just to give you a quick update, that Auckland Council's consultation that it's doing over summer is on freedom camping. And I mentioned it last year, but the consultation closes on the 18th of February. So if you have a look, you can get help from librarians and libraries to be able to do an online version, or you can print stuff out at the library, or you can go to a local meeting run by your local board. I know one in Puketapapa is being held on the Wednesday the night. I think that's Wednesday the 13th at 6:30 at the YWCA there in Linfield at Margaret Griffin Park. But there are others in other parts of the city which would all be available on the council phone number 3010101. And I really suggest that you do look into it, because you might think, oh, freedom camping, I'm not camping, it's nothing to do with me. It has quite a lot to do with you, because freedom camping takes place in parks. So this is a use of the park which has to be officially given sanction under the bylaw, and whether you think that ratepayers should be paying for the clean-up from freedom camping, whether you think that toilets and facilities need to be provided, and even charged for by coin in the slot operation, or just how you think it should be managed is really important. So it's your chance as a ratepayer or a person whose rent pays rates, it's your chance to have a voice and get your views out there. I mean, you might consider some parks are not suitable at all and shouldn't have freedom camping, and give your reasons. I mean, there's lots of things that you can put into this feedback to do with freedom camping and the way our parks are managed. Now, there's been quite a lot about the Lime scooters, and I've had phone calls from members who want them banned, and I've had phone calls from people who want much more stringent controls on how they're used and so on. And what I have been saying to people is, no matter how many ideas are discussed and no matter how much pressure's brought to bear, I think the biggest problem in this space is enforcement. Who is going to enforce any kinds of restrictions? Because already people using Lime scooters are supposed to wear helmets. They're supposed to be people with a driver's license and understand road rules and have done the road code. But we all know that people under 18 are picking them up using credit cards, mum and dad's card, wearing them, riding them without helmets, carrying bags and luggage, carrying another passenger, doing everything that they're not supposed to do. So it's a very frustrating period while this new form of transport comes in and beds into the mix, and just how people are going to react to it long term and what controls and what enforcement could be workable is all exercising many minds. And it's not that we're not doing anything, we're just watching and reflecting what we hear. But in Grey Power, we don't have a policy specifically around Lime scooters yet. But within our general framework, we've focused on improving the footpaths, because if they're bad, then Lime scooters won't be travelling over them very easily. They're more likely to tip their passengers off and riders off, and they're more likely to have collisions. So we think that safety of footpaths is really important in this discussion. Now, with volunteers, I've emphasised before in programs how not only how valuable our volunteers are in different parts of our society, but also the benefits of volunteering, that it's very good for people to volunteer because it actually lifts their well-being. And that's why I've incorporated in today's discussion. Now, you've had a lot of experience in the voluntary sector, and would you say that it's been beneficial for you to volunteer, Nanette?
Oh, definitely, and volunteering is, you just feel good about being able to help others and to make a difference. And, you know, whether it be in a small capacity or a large capacity, whether it's working at hospice, just even doing the shelves, or being a community patrol. And there's just so many ways you can volunteer. You can, whatever your interest is, I think that guides you as into what charity that you would like to be part of. And that drives you. Hence, with me, it's I think everyone that knows me knows that I'm crime prevention and law and order chair nationally and for Auckland Indian Association. But I as a super senior champion, I actually feel for our seniors that they're not given enough information, or maybe just the little flyers and just little, like I said, about bullet points with your pen and paper. Just the simple things of reporting crime, or if you're driving, and the basics around just our New Zealand laws need a bit of a refresher sometimes.
And I was thinking also, you mentioned community patrols. I know that community patrols are really invaluable because they help keep things safe. They're the extra eyes and ears for the police. I just wondered if you had a message for us about community patrols. Because quite often people, I think, might volunteer for them if they really knew more about what they did.
No, very true, Anne. Well, community patrols, if you think neighbourhood support, community patrols, police, Auckland Council and civil defence. So that's all one big circle that's linking everything. And there's just, the benefits just outweigh. It's encouraging neighbours to communicate. It's nurturing the sense of the community spirit. And it reduces loneliness just on that one. We've got Neighbourhood Watch coming, Neighbours Day, pardon me, coming up. And that's a great way to even just get to know your neighbours in the street and have a barbecue and just even exchange thoughts sometimes. Sometimes you don't talk to a person the whole day or several days, in which case by getting to know your neighbours, it's encouraging, it's better for you, it's beneficial, and there's a safety aspect there too. Just supporting each other in times of strife, and with community patrols, you know, you're working with like-minded community groups, and the information that you get is shared. So that's a biggie, actually. And it's reducing the fear of crime, because if you're getting the information, you're more updated, you're more in the knowledge, and knowledge is power.
Indeed it is. And in fact, there's a lot of research about the communities that are well protected and well prepared for disasters. So when disasters do strike, they're in a position to be able to organise, to be able to reach people, to be able to know where people are who are living alone. They just have the information at their fingertips. And that all that work that was going on while there was no disaster in sight, it all pays off in the real life situation. Definitely. And we saw that in Christchurch, where the Littleton people were just amazing. They were the best connected, and they were also digitally the best connected. So those who, you know, want to put their heads in the sand and sort of say, oh, well, I don't want to be connected. I don't want to be on any digital media, or I'm not having a cell phone or a smartphone, or I'm not doing this. But in actual fact, even if you don't do it, if you know someone who does, then you're indirectly able to be connected, and that can be such an asset in a time of a disaster. It's just unbelievable how quickly people can respond. I also think that we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we can get a bit focused on ourselves and our program and our problems or things that haven't gone well. We can get a bit, ruminate on the past, or we can be locked into being worried about our future without realising that actually we can put all that to one side, give it a rest for a while, and go and help somebody and be immersed in somebody else's issues. And actually we're quite refreshed. We can reset the dial and we can be in a better space. So it definitely is uplifting to be a volunteer. And of course, the one thing that volunteers need is they need recognition and support. And that's why Grey Power is working very hard to improve its policies around volunteering. Because we're all volunteers, we tend to take it for granted just how much we give, and we like giving. But we should be able to have our expenses reimbursed. We should be able to know that, yes, we can turn to a certain person for help, or we can report in if we're not well. We don't have to feel that we have to drive ourselves silly to go and volunteer when we're not up for it. So there's all these factors come into it, into a well-managed volunteering program. And for that, we know that Volunteering Auckland are a great resource, and we're very happy to have the connection with Volunteering Auckland that we have, and we are looking for a strengthened connection this year. Now, I'm just wondering also, Nanette, with crime prevention, we've had a few cases recently where distressed seniors have turned up in the office at Blockhouse Bay. In fact, one was sent home by another tenant in the building. He called an Uber and sent her home in this taxi just because he was really concerned about her state of mind. She'd been burgled, and she lived alone, and she was naturally apprehensive about going home each time she went out. These kinds of things happen. I'm just wondering if you're if you've any kind of message or conversation you want to have around this.
Well, if any time something happens, an incident, or you fear for your life, simple 111 call. Don't hesitate. And also when you're getting in the car or just when you're going home, what people forget to do is to lock the door behind you. Just simple thing like that, and putting your handbag down. Don't put it on the car seat, put it on the floor. Don't leave valuable showing in the car, especially your wallet or something of importance like your computer, etc., because the burglars are on the watch all the time. You don't know that those eyes are following you, even from the supermarket. So, you know, as much as you can have, pop it in the boot, don't have it in visual. When you're walking just in, whether it be in the supermarket car park or it could be down the drive for your own house, but just be alert to your surroundings. It's just the more vigil you are, the more safer you're going to be. Just a little punt on that one. Thank you, Anne.
Right. So we're actually going to sign off very soon. I have selected a track, Weather With You, because it's a Tim Pin number and I think it's sort of appropriate. But just before we switch to that, there's a thing that you can do to prevent crime in your own life if you're a car driver, and that's make sure your plates are secured so people can't unscrew them and take them off and use them and book petrol up or, you know, and drive off without paying using your car plates. So, Nanette, you've got a situation there with the police on the 2nd of February. Would you like to talk about being done there?
It's jointly with Community Patrol New Zealand, with BP To Go Motor Centre, which is 450 Northcote Road, Northcote, and with the police. We do it annually, sometimes with Rotary as well, and just... you don't even think about protecting your plates. It actually evades your mind. But with criminal activity and drive-offs, quite often your number plate, which is being stolen, is actually used in a robbery or in an unfavourable event. So just for a gold coin donation, your screws can be changed from the number for the number plate and changed to security screws. So come along on the 2nd, mark the date down, 2nd of February, between 9 a.m. in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's BP To Go Motor Centre, 50 Northcote Road. And just the same at the moment, BP and life saving. So each litre you buy at BP, sorry, I'm putting a punt in for BP, but that's helping donations go to life saving. And there's another valuable volunteering service with the drownings and how many, the stats each time on the beach is just horrifying, actually, especially for New Zealand when we're surrounded with water. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you very much for those messages, Nanette. I'm hoping that we'll have more opportunity to delve into this area of health and safety, and we'll switch to Tim Finn, and you won't hear the whole track, but I hope that you'll enjoy what you do here. And until we meet again, enjoy that fine weather. Take the weather with you.
Yeah.